Brother Doyle, I never know what a preacher is going to say when they introduce me, Brother Bo. I was at a Bible college in Indianapolis, Indiana. The man got up, I can't remember his official capacity with the school. He said, "Students, I want you to give me your attention. If you are a young lady and you have a purse with you, I want you to clutch it very tightly. This man is a Jew." And then he said to the young men, "If you have a billfold, I want you to put your hand around it. I want you to hold on to your billfold. This man is a Jew." And then he said, turned to me and said, "Brother Jack, come preach to us." They didn't know if I was a preacher or a thief. Well, I have been so blessed with what I've heard tonight. And I'm sure Brother Garvin and Faye remember so well our first encounter, because Brother Garvin was my classmate in school. And he had a great influence on my life. And then he took me down to Dublin, Georgia, where he pastored a church, and his wife became a part of my life. And as a result of that, we've had a long, long friendship. And Travis, I want to say this. I sense that your feeling about your mother is the same as the feeling that I have about my own mother, who's gone now. I'm so appreciative. I've said to my wife, my mother instilled in me integrity and character and honesty. She would not let me go without knowing those things personally. Not only that, she was concerned about my appearance. How well I can remember sitting down at the breakfast table and she'd say, "Go tuck your shirt in. You can't eat at this table with your shirt tail out." And then I'd go do that and she'd said, "Now, go wash your hands again." I said, "I've already done that." She said, "Look at your fingernails. They're not clean yet." Well, those kind of things make a lasting impression upon one's heart. I want to, without being neglectful, say thank you to Brother John Yingling and his staff and people, to Brother Mark Campbell for allowing us to come. I told Sandra when John contacted me, I was literally scared to death to preach to a group like this. So many of these men, Brother Bo Mackey and Brother Larry Pearson, these are all preacher friends, and I'm honored to stand before them tonight and tomorrow as well. And John, I hope in God's providence he will let us be together again somewhere, and Elena can do her song on preaching. I've never heard anything like that in my life. But we've had such a great fellowship. And you folks are just the most gracious folks. And I've been here several times. And I say that from my heart tonight to you. I don't know what our time limit is on preaching tonight. I asked one preacher, and he said, "Brother, we didn't come to go out. We came to get in." I said, "Well, okay, whatever you say." Well, thank you for your gifts and all the things you've done. It's just so encouraged my heart to be in a church like this. I don't know how many of you have met my wife, Sandra. She's seated down here next to Faye Dykes. I commonly tell this story. Faye indirectly is responsible for us being married, One of the men in my wedding, who's now in heaven, told Sandra one day, he said, "Don't marry him." She said, "Well, I already told him I would." "Well, tell him it's not the will of God. Use any excuse you can." And he went around the country in preachers' meetings saying that she hated him because he didn't talk her out of it. Well, that's not true at all. But what a blessing tonight to be here. I know you have your Bible, and I know you're ready for the scripture tonight. I want you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15. You may wonder why I'm dealing with the subject that I'm dealing with, but I think it was so well illustrated for you in the life of Mrs. Faye Dykes and now in the life of their dear son Travis. One person can make a difference. One person can make a difference. I worked several years in Indianapolis at a camp with young people, and I was constantly trying to impress upon them, you can make a difference. And so tonight, as we open the scripture, just for a moment, let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, Lord, what can I say? What can I add to what has already been said tonight? The blessing of these precious Christian friends. How I realize tonight that though mother and father may forsake you and not understand, Lord, you've placed me in the family of God. You've blessed me with so many special friends, preachers and missionaries. And as I open God's word tonight, may what I say just be a great encouragement to them. In Christ's precious name, amen. I've always enjoyed, beloved, studying the life of King David. I think in many ways, David represents many of us tonight who maybe started out well, and somewhere along the line we slipped and fell. And yet, beloved, God in His grace and mercy restored us to a place of usefulness or fellowship. I don't often like to use many personal illustrations, but tonight I want to share something I hope will encourage you tonight. Almost 20 years or more ago, I got discouraged in ministry. I was ready to pack up and get out of the ministry. I was ready to just take a part in a local church and tithe and give to missions. And I went to a small country Baptist church in Hayesville, Ohio, which is right outside of Canton. I thought about canceling the meeting, and it just went through my mind, and I thought, you've told those people you would come. And in the process of time, I put my Bible in my case, and I put one particular book that I was reading. It was called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Most preachers know about that book because Philip Keller was a shepherd in Africa before he was converted, and he literally wrote and took Psalm 23, those six verses, and made an entire book out of it. And I thought, I don't know what I'm going to preach in this week. And so when I got there, I opened up that book, and the first night of the meeting, I preached, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then the next night, I went to verse 2, but in the process of time, nothing happened in that meeting. There was very little, if any, public response. I just felt like I was going through the motions. But sitting in that study, God began to do something in my heart. I came to realize all the things that Brother Garvin and I had learned in school and the type of preaching, that was not me. And so from that point on, I began to change my whole method of preaching, my whole method of study. And that brought me, Brother Garvin, to where I am tonight. God's people are sheep. They need to be nurtured. They need to be led. They need to be strengthened, like has happened in this church for many, many years. And now, under the faithful leadership of Mark Campbell. But here in 2 Samuel chapter 15, I want to take this story and I want to illustrate. I have been preaching, as I said, one person can make a difference. And several months ago, I began to go through the Bible and pick out someone whose name might be only mentioned one or two times. Last night, we looked at Shamgar, who was a Canaanite. Tonight, I want to look at Attai. He is a Gittite. But before we mention that, let me give you just a moment of background. David and his son Absalom had confrontation, not on the part of David, but on the part of his son Absalom. He grew too big for his britches, and he decided, "I'm going to take over the kingdom that belongs to my dad." And so, beloved, he began to do some things that were not right and things that would undermine his dad's own kingdom. Look down in chapter 15, if you would, please, and notice verse number 6. "And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." Then look down just a little further in that chapter at verse number 12. "And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor." Have you ever noticed sometimes when people want to cause trouble, it's so easy to find someone that will listen to you? It's so easy to bring someone into a scheme that is not right, and certainly this was a scheme that was not right. Ahithophel was the immediate and faithful counselor of David. Nobody was closer to David than Ahithophel except his son Absalom. And in the midst of all of this, David decides he's going to leave Jerusalem. I'm in real danger. So he gathers the people together and they flee from the capital city of Jerusalem. Now, come down to verse number 18 of chapter 15. "And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Perethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king." Now, all of these people are leaving. There are three distinct tribes of people. And one of the tribes, beloved, is the tribe of the Gittites. You know where they originated from? They originated from the city of Gath. And do you know who came from the city of Gath? The man that David defeated so well. His name was Goliath. So here you have three tribes. They are there with David and they're fleeing the city. Now, notice what it says in verse number 19. Then said the king to Attai the Gittite, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile." Now, David looks out at the tribe of Gittites. One particular person stands out. His name is Attai. And he looks at him and he says, "You don't really belong with us. Why, you're from the city of Gath. You're from the place where Goliath came from. You are one of my enemies." You know, it's interesting that sometimes, beloved, someone that is your enemy and someone you think doesn't like you can become your very best friend. Have you ever met somebody on first occasion like I have, and I say to Sandra, "I don't think that person likes me." She said, "Why do you say that?" I said, "Honey, the way they responded to me, I'm not sure they really like me." And then you meet other people, you meet them, and immediately they hug you and they grab you and they say, "It's so good to see you." Well, Sandra can tell you, she's been married to me many years. I don't like negative response. For example, I go into a store and somebody that knows me said, "I guess they'll let anybody come in this place." I'm not sure how to react to that. Or they make some kind of strange statement to me. And my wife says, "Honey, put a smile on your face. Just say, 'Well, brother, it's good to see you.'" But sometimes I don't always, Brother Garvin, I don't always react in a good way. You wives and husbands know how that is. Sometimes I don't ever tell my wife what I'm going to preach, Brother Mark. I just never have. And one night we're going to our home church. We're 5 minutes from the driveway, Brother Larry. I just casually said to her, "I think we'll be in the book of Hosea tonight." She looked at me with a great big smile. "I've heard that before." And in my mind, I thought, "You have?" And we're 5 minutes from the pulling in the parking lot, and I'm thinking, "She's heard that before, and I'm planning on preaching that?" She looked over at me, and she grinned real big, and she said, "I just wanted to see how you would react." I don't always react well. Well, here is Attai mentioned in 2 Samuel 15. He is a Gittite. I've told you, he came from the city of Gath. Now, here's what's interesting to me. Notice, if you would, in verse 19 and 20, some things are said. "Wherefore goest thou also with us?" You're not going with us. Why? You're really our enemy. You came from that city that Goliath came from. And then he said also, "For thou art a stranger and also an exile." In other words, he said, "Attai, you don't even belong with us. You're a strange person to us. You're not one of my mighty men. You don't belong here." And then look at the other thing he says. "Whereas thou camest but yesterday." Why, you're the new kid on the block. Why, we've never even seen you before. What are you here for? Why did you come? And then he said, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truce be with thee. He said to Attai, here's his saying. Go back home. Go back to where you belong. What are the people in Gath going to think? What are they going to think? You're here to help me and support me. Go back home and God will show mercy to you. Then notice something. Look down at verse 21. And Attai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will my servant be. You ever seen that before? You remember the book of Ruth? You remember what Naomi said to that Moabitess woman? I have no more sons that you can marry. Go back home where you belong. And Ruth, instead of going back home, decided, I'm going to stay with you. And wherever you go, that's where I'm going to be. Do you know what Attai is tonight, beloved? He is the male counterpart that is attached with this woman, Ruth. He's the male that said, no matter what happens, I'm going to stay and go with you. And Ruth said, Naomi, I'm going to go with you. And so here you have these two people with very similar statements to say. Now, what else do we learn? Look at what it says in verse 22. And David said to Attai, go and pass over. And Attai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. David said to him, well, if you're determined to stay with me, then we're leaving and we're going out into the wilderness. You come and go with us. Now, here's the interesting thing about this entire story. Look over at the next chapter, chapter 15. Look at verse 31. Let me get to this before I get to chapters 16 and 17. Look down at verse 31. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Now, I'm not going to take time tonight, but I want to tell you what happened. Here is a very dangerous part of the life of not only Ahithophel, but the life of Absalom. And I'll show you what happened. If you look down just a moment in chapter 17, I'm skipping over a lot of verses. Chapter 17 tells you a great deal about Ahithophel. Remember, he's David's chief counselor. Some said he may have been the grandfather of Bathsheba. But if he wasn't, he was his closest counselor. And he, along with Absalom, turned against King David. You remember what David prayed? Turn that counsel into foolishness. Now, when you read chapter number 17 and you go toward the end of chapter 17, look what it says in verse 23. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house to the city and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. What happened to Ahithophel? He realized he had done the wrong thing. And as a result of that, beloved, he felt guilty and he goes home and he actually hangs himself. He kills his own self. It's suicide. But remember, there's a second person in the story. That's David's son, Absalom. Now, in order to see what happened there, I want you to turn over to chapter 18. Chapter 17 deals with Ahithophel. Chapter 18 deals with Absalom. Look in chapter 18 and look down at verse 5. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Attai. Oh, that name Attai comes up again. Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. I sense in my heart, beloved, that David was burdened for his son Absalom. Even though he had tried to cheat him out of his kingdom, even though he had conspired to take part of David's men and be in charge of his kingdom, Absalom was still his own son. Now, you saw what happened to Ahithophel. Look what happened to Absalom. Look down in chapter 18 at verse number 9. And Absalom met the servants of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule was under him went away. Some in this room would remember Lester Roloff. He preached a message years ago, "When the Mule Walked On." He got that from this chapter and that particular verse. And I always thought in my heart, that's exactly how David's son Absalom died. But it's not true. Look down further in verse 14. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he is yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bear Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. Ahithophel hung himself. Now, beloved, Absalom has died. And they took those three darts. They found him hanging and bing! 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 And Absalom is no more at all. Now, why did I give you all the detail of that? To let you know something. One person can make a difference. Attai was used in this story. How do you know that, Brother Jack? Okay, go back in chapter 18 and look, if you would, at verse number 1. Chapter 18 and verse 1. And David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Attai the Gittite. Isn't that an amazing story? This man who came as a stranger, who came as an exile, who came as an enemy to King David, now is in charge of one third of David's people. He was rewarded for one simple reason. He obeyed the God of heaven. Now, let me draw this to, if I could, a conclusion tonight. Blessing always comes when you make the right choices with God. Right choices. Attai could have said, I'm going back home, but he decided to stay with King David. Blessing always comes when you and I make the right choices. In every teenage heart, in every adult heart, we have an opportunity. God gives us a choice. Blessing comes when you make the right choice. Second, doing what is right is not based upon people and circumstances. Someone said, well, I did that because everybody else was doing it. That doesn't always mean it's right. And when circumstances happen, beloved, don't let those circumstances or those people force you to do something that's wrong. You make the right choice. I tell you, I could have listened to those people with him that came from Gath, but he didn't. He listened to God. If everyone is doing wrong, we must do what's right. I've learned that over and over and over again. We will always be rewarded when we do what is right. I wonder how Attai must have thought when David said to him, you're going to have a third of my people, and you're going to be in charge. I wonder if his mind went back when he left Gath. He never dreamed that God would reward him like he did. Can I say to you tonight, one person can make a difference. Shamgar made a difference. Attai made a difference in David's kingdom. And you here tonight can make a difference. Regardless of circumstances, regardless of people, you can make a difference. Precious Father, what a great story from the life of King David. And how you picked a very unlikely person, someone who on the surface looked like he was David's enemy. And yet he not only became his good friend, he became a part of his kingdom. Lord, tonight, maybe someone here tonight is wrestling with a decision regarding circumstances, wrestling with a decision regarding their life. Help them to realize that blessing always comes when we do what is right. Thank you for the privilege of standing before these dear people. Bless us in the closing moments of the service. For Christ's sake, amen.